This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and this afternoon I'm joined by two gentlemen from Backcountry Horsemen. Hello, Thad Barrett from, well, we, some of us know you with another hat on with the Forest Service, and Floyd Rodifer. Hello, Floyd. Hello. You are the president of the Cloud Peak Backcountry Horsemen here in this region, and you have an event coming up that you'd like people to know about, which is a free horse packing clinic. What can you tell us about it?
We're just trying to give people an opportunity to get some hands-on experience with packing horses, become more familiar with the gear necessary and how to tie the knots in one thing and another to have successful pack trips. It's going to be short. We'll do 4 hours, which is certainly not enough time to become a skilled packer, but we're going to try to cater to all levels so beginners can learn what they need to learn, and if somebody just wants to hone their skills and learn a few tricks, we're going to kind of divide up and work with people at whatever level and keep it really open and friendly and hands-on and just have fun. And part of the intent is to introduce people to our chapter and more about what we are all about too, so that they are aware of us hopefully can join and become active members. So.
Well, I mean, it's probably something that many people have thought that they might like to do, or that they've tried and they realize that they're maybe not as proficient and there are some things that they need to know. With horse packing, I mean, it's a wonderful way to get into sort of more remote parts of the forest. Is that right, Thad? And
yeah, I'd say, you know, I grew up around horses my entire life, but I never had the opportunity to get out and, you know, enjoy horses in the mountains or with the packing until I went to work for the Forest Service and they sent me through a packing clinic. And then I've had the desire ever since to get more and more involved with groups like Backcountry Horsemen to do that off work for the enjoyment purposes. So, yeah, it's, you know, this is an opportunity to start to learn about what it takes and to learn those skills, but it's just another level of enjoyment to be able to use your horses and get back into the wonderful places that we have around here.
Because, of course, horses are, you know, I mean, they're wonderful creatures and they serve us very well, but they're also not bulletproof. And I assume that there are some skills in packing that you need to have that, you know, not only make them, you know, more efficient for you, but also for their health and safety and their just general well-being and for the group that you are with.
Absolutely. And we won't have time on Saturday to delve into the horse training aspect of pack horses, not in depth at all. Like, we can talk briefly about things, but yeah, you don't take just any old horse, even a good gentle arena horse that has never been packed. You could be setting yourself up for a wreck no matter how much skill you have, unless you've actually worked with them a lot, training them and know what you're doing, because it's a different experience for the horse as much as for the people. So
you mentioned know what you're doing. I mean, why is this any different than just carefully laying out, you know, in front of you all the things you want to take and you just put them into your packs, you just load them up as you think is intuitive? What do you know now, having been a horse packer for some time and having all that expertise? What is it that you think people can learn from this?
Well, I mean, for one thing, when you put it on a horse, they have no way of, they can't verbalize that it's uncomfortable and out of balance. And so if the load is not correct, even on a good gentle horse, you're setting yourself up for a wreck or injuring the animal or both, and the people involved, because the horse might react in a way that can be dangerous. So yeah, the getting the packs balanced correctly and on securely is critical. And obviously before you do that, you have to know that the horse is pretty trustworthy. So the horses we will have there are seasoned packing animals, so we won't be going into a lot of training. But you know, people that don't have trained horses are welcome to, you know, come and talk about that more too, and we can. It's a gradual process, like any training process, to train the horse. So
this
is to train the people.
This panic clinic will help, you know, help you be able to identify how do you properly set up your pack, how do you get that weight right, how do you balance the weight on an animal to make sure that you're not going to be providing that discomfort.
Yeah,
I mean, an unhappy animal can lead to all kinds of
difficult
situations.
Even my horses that have a lot of experience, if you leave something loose and rattling in a metal panniered, it'll make them nervous, and you don't need that. You don't, you know, even a good gentle horse, adding something more stressful to their day, it's not hurting them, but they don't know that. And so a bunch of loose stuff rattling around in a metal panniered is not a good idea. We're just going to demonstrate how to pack things nice and tight. And, you know, people that have backpacked generally have a pretty good understanding of what kind of gear and those kind of things to bring. But when you put your pack on that's uncomfortable, you can fix it. The horse has no idea how to fix that. So
maybe hikers who've packed with their own provisions have more understanding and sympathy of what you really do truly take to need and what really is unnecessary, and you don't need to have somebody else carry it for you.
Right.
So we think of packing, you know, really be for camping, but there are other applications too. I would have thought hunting is something that, you know, so if you're a hunter and you would like, you know, you've got a permit to go somewhere that's maybe more remote and off the beaten track, will you be, you know, these skills that you would be talking about, are they transferable to those particular needs of hunters?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's what most people that pack with horses do nowadays, but you know, myself included, that's what motivated me to be a avid packer. But I mean, I still pack for other recreational purposes too, hunting and fishing, I guess, are the two motivators for me. But for sure, it's you know, being able to pack your gear in is one thing that a good backpacker can do pretty well. But packing meat is a whole other level of weight and extra work. And there's plenty of really good avid hunters that work extremely hard and pack it all on their backs, and I applaud those. But a lot of us are got a few too many years, and we just don't want to do that anymore. And it's hard work, and some people might, you know, may never have been physically able to do that, and it gives people more opportunity if they can. So
thank you. And the clinic is on. It's coming up. It's on Saturday, May the 4th. Starting at 9:30 a.m. and you mentioned it's about for 4 hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
At the Johnson County Fairgrounds. You don't need a horse. Should people take their horse if they have one?
We prefer not.
I mean,
yeah, we will have plenty of horses. If they have a little bit of gear that they want to discuss on how they might would pack it, you know, I wouldn't discourage that. I would recommend people bring a lawn chair if. I'm hoping most people can be up, stand on their feet, participating, but there might be times you want to sit down and relax and watch. So there is no seating facilities where we'll be conducting this.
And you will be providing all the equipment.
Correct.
So you don't need to bring your own stuff. If you've got something that maybe you particularly want to ask a question about, throw it in the back of your car or truck or so on. But what sort of age groups are you hoping will show up?
Well, I'm hoping we get a good diverse age group of, you know, like I said, experienced packers all the way to people with no experience that are interested. Because this is a lifelong learning process. I'm hoping somebody shows up and teaches me some new tricks, because you can always learn something new no matter how much you know about something. And I mean, I just want to share what I know at this point. But you know, people that have no experience, I'd encourage them to come if you're interested and talk about it and you know, talk about what kind of equipment they need to be trying to find and gather up, if they have horses, or if they don't, what kind of horses they should be looking for. So it's kind of wide open, just a lot of general information, but the focus will be, you know, here's a pile of gear, two or three piles of gear, let's put it in the appropriate panniered or whatever and get it on the horse correctly, and while we're doing that, we can discuss a lot of things. So I'm hoping it'll be a lot of fun, and I think we're going to have at least some water to keep people from getting dehydrated, maybe a snack or two. So.
And should people bring their kids? I mean, that's a pretty broad thing, but I you probably don't want five-year-olds running around, but if somebody would like...
Absolutely, bring your children. I mean, obviously, you know, we're going to be around horses, the gentlest horse, you know, we don't need kids running around underneath of them. So if they can control the kids, bring them. If you can't control them, then don't bring them. But for sure, I mean, kids will enjoy it as much as anybody, even if they're not planning on being packers or whatever. But.
And of course, this clinic is part of a bigger group, the Backcountry Horsemen, which is a national organization, and we have a chapter here, and you have members already. What other things does your group do?
Our focus is on keeping backcountry trails open for all users, but with an emphasis on, you know, maintaining horse use and making sure those trails that are open to horses stay open to horses, and keeping trails clear, maintaining trailheads and corrals and facilities and parking areas for horses. So that's nationally, that's kind of our primary thing. We work really closely with the federal agencies that manage the land. You know, here it's primarily Forest Service, but we'll be working with state lands and BLM wherever there's trailheads, and keeping things available to the public for all uses, you know, but our emphasis, of course, is on horse use.
So. Yeah, and as Thad mentioned already, Forest Services are using horses for
absolutely
a lot of their federal work. They're not just for recreation and play, and you could then really truly get away from it all but be doing something useful at the same time. So if you're somebody who wants to get out of town, get away from the cell phones and all the busy and so on, you can do that, but also be busy and useful.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. We do have some events that we regularly do. We go to Elgin Park once a year. I don't have my calendar in front of me, but it's on our website. And we clean up around there and do any maintenance that's needed at that trail end. It's just been a tradition this chapter has done for years. We're going to try to work in as many other activities that our members will be invited to, and we'll, to the extent we can, we're going to try to keep those open to the public for opportunities to go do a day of trail maintenance and whatever, or just day rides and stuff. And that's another part that's really not addressed a lot. We're not a riding club, but we can function that way where people, you know, we're more than that, I guess, is the way I like to think of it. People can interact and network and meet people, and you can find people that are more compatible at your style and level of riding, so that if you want to go for a trail ride and you find somebody that likes to go places you want to go and distances you want to go, then you get to meet those people, and eventually you become really good friends by doing these things together. And, you know, some people, a 4 or 5 mile ride in a day might be all they want to do, and that's absolutely perfect. And some of us don't feel like we've even got a horse warmed up unless we've gone 10 or 15 miles. Not that we don't enjoy the shorter rides, we just like to go longer. So that's a part of it. You get to meet people, and not only the rides, you just get to know each other, and you share a common.
I would imagine you also get to know things about areas that you might not otherwise.
Absolutely.
You know,
you learn new country.
Find about.
Yeah, you learn new country. You learn about new access points and new trails and, yeah. There's
skills,
just
different
skills,
ways of doing things, all kinds
and once you get opportunities to go in the back country, you learn different techniques of how to, you know, we use it. The old term was leave no trace. They're using the term light on the land now, and it's pretty much the same concept where you go prepared, you take basically just what you need, you try not to take too many extra horses, so you're light on the land, you're not having adverse impacts, and you pack in what you pack out. So we help encourage people to do that, and most of us, when we have the opportunity and have available pack animals, we usually pack out more trash than we pack in, because that's just what we think is the right thing to do. So that's, you know, and yeah, like I said, you learn different equipment and techniques to take care of horses and things that we can all benefit by. So,
and we have a magical outdoor playground just we live just beneath it, and it's the most wonderful way to just get out, refresh, renew. And if you're on horseback and you can get to those places where everybody else can't, it's an extra special experience.
Absolutely. We're blessed all across Wyoming, and you know, probably more so than even a lot of other states in the North Mountain West. We have an abundance of public land, public access, where you don't need any, generally don't need any special permits or anything to go enjoy those areas. There are places where you do have to have a wilderness permit to go to the wilderness areas, but they're free permits. They're just there for the general, with the Forest Service in the case I'm thinking of, they're just there to help keep people from being in the wrong places. They want people to come in, and or at least call in and check in and make sure they're not going planning on camping in a place that's going to cause damage and things like that. But otherwise, yeah, we've got, you know, the state is over 50% public land between BLM and Forest Service
so you have no shortage of good rides, good pack trips to take.
Right. You just have to get creative and go find, you know, find some good maps and get with people that have been there, done that, and find these areas. And that is another opportunity we have scheduled May. I'm going to find the date real quick. May 18th and 23rd, we have a member from Casper who is going to kind of lead a ride into the hole in the wall down here south of KC. And if anybody's interested in doing that, you know, feel free to contact us. There's ways to contact us on our website.
And I will make sure that there's lots of good connection information attached to this.
Those are opportunities, and we'll be doing a variety of things like that as much as we can. And that this hole in the wall ride is it's a long ride. It's a 20-mile round trip, but it should be a lot of fun. And I plan on going at least one of the 2 days, maybe both, if things work out. But
well, Floyd, thank you very much indeed for coming and telling us about the free horse packing clinic. You've got a lot to offer, and if somebody, you know, is a complete novice or if they just want to hone their skills a little bit, it's a great time to be doing that. And just to remind people that you don't need to bring your horse. In fact, better not to bring your horse, and there will be plenty of horses and equipment there for demonstration purposes and so on, and you just have an open door.
That's right. We're encouraging as many people that have any interest at all to just show up and enjoy and have fun and get acquainted, and you know, one thing leads to another
Well, we're set for an extremely busy time here in this little region. Camporee is coming through in August, and for those people who don't know that, we're going to see a huge swell of thousands and thousands of people are going to be coming through our region, either coming in or out, and getting away from it all probably at that time of year in August is going to be a real bonus. So, the further away you can get, the more peaceful it will be.
And I will add, you know, I realize everybody has extremely busy schedules, and you probably, you know, some people might already have prior commitments. I understand that. But by all means, contact our organization if you're still interested in doing this, because, like I said, we will be doing plenty of other trips. There will be other opportunities to work with some of us on an individual or case-by-case basis if we plan other rides and stuff. So those will be more, you know, just kind of catch-as-catch-can, but stay in touch, and we can get our calendar of events put together. And of course, that's a continuously evolving calendar, and if you're interested in doing this kind of stuff, that's what we're all about, and we encourage people to contact us, and we'll join up, and hopefully we can help you enjoy the great outdoors more. So,
well, thank you very much for explaining everything, and I wish you well with your event. I hope goes well, and that you get a lot of people show up, and that you share a lot of these kind of what may be slightly traditional, maybe almost regarded as old-fashioned skills, but still of tremendous value. Thank you very much, Floyd, for your time, and Thad.
Thank you, Kate.